You're listening to Recap FM's coverage of Amazon original series, The Boys. This will be a recap of Season 1, Episode 2, Cherry. I'm Jason.
I'm Seal.
The credits are rolling. Let's talk. All right, so we left off last episode in kind of a conundrum on multiple fronts, you know?
Just a little,
so, yeah. We had Homelander doing some little AWOL stuff, you know, just small things like cutting a plane in half with his eyes.
No big deal.
No big deal. What do you think about that?
I mean, that we got to look at who he really is.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, he's at the self-serving, you know, the ends justify the means guy. I think that is who
right.
he is. And they made no bones about it. They gave us a clear look right there. Hey, this is this guy. There's nothing ambiguous about Homelander, I don't think.
Exactly. Like, there was nothing like, well, maybe he's a good guy and he's just being kind of run by a corporation. No, it's like,
no, nah, he's just a jerk.
He's a monster. He's a sociopath. Yeah, so I think it was good that they made that clear right away. It kind of set the tone for they did a good job of that in the first episode, but kind of leaving off on that note was a good way to set the tone for these.
Yeah, I mean, it let us know that, you know, this isn't any shiny, happy, fuzzy stuff going to happen. I mean, as if the opening scene of that episode wasn't enough of it. I think they made it plain that we're not dealing with what we would call heroes in the classical sense.
Right. Which is why the name Supes is a great name for him, because
I love that it's a pejorative. I mean, it's right. just yeah.
I don't want to
damn Supes
go all the way. Yeah, exactly. So we're left with this situation where Huey and Butcher have to decide what to do with old Translucent. So Translucent, obviously, the end of last episode, he runs through the what we would call a Radio Shack, but a store tied
yeah.
like that, and tries to kill Huey. And so they get him incapacitated. And so right now we're starting off with like this, what do we do with this soup who, one, is invisible, and two, is rumored to be invincible. His skin being like, I don't know what they say, it was like diamond skin. It was super rough. So,
they're yeah, it's this, a diamond this, hard skin, so basically impenetrable, kind of like Luke Cage. But
right, exactly.
But he also has the ability to make himself appear invisible, which is just a crazy set of powers.
Yeah. So they go from this, like, not knowing if he's dead and then knowing that he's alive and, you know, deciding what to do with him, which leads them to introduce us to, so far, one of my favorite parts of the team, Frenchie.
Oh, yeah, Frenchie is a delight.
He is. He's like a delightful, crazy person.
Yes.
Who loves huge guns and...
Mm-hmm. And explosions and
just has the best accent. Like,
oh, he's
like,
does.
He crosses the like the English with a little bit of French like thrown in at the end of the sentence, which is awesome.
I love it. Yeah, I really dig it. They toned it down a bit from the comic, not that we're here
sure.
to make those comparisons, but like in half the time in the comic book he's speaking French.
So
it's hilarious.
Like, what the hell is he hilarious? Saying right now?
But yeah, no, I love the character. He's so much fun. It's like he's got this sense, this weird sense of joy about him. And he just gets so excited and so fired up about whatever's happening.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder like how he got mixed up in that world, you know, a world
yeah.
that involved Butcher, you know.
Because clearly, I mean, he is into some bad stuff.
Sure.
And he is the go-to guy for this kind of thing. It's like, man, how did this you know, kind of happy, nice dude get wrapped up in all this.
Yeah. So they decide, you know, Butcher goes to Frenchie because he knows if anybody can take care of the situation, well, it's Frenchie. He is the know-how. He's like this weird, like, weapon of mass destruction. He could understand how to build weapons to destroy things. I love how he's like Googling how to kill invincible suits. Like, yeah. I love that's just like this commonplace.
So great.
Yeah. So he builds him a cage, an electrical cage, which is great, and it works for a time. And so then they're stuck like kind of deciding what to do. And I think that this is a great transition for Huey and building on to the arc of his character.
Sure.
Deciding like he's got these two guys who are totally without any reservations ready to kill this soup. And he's on the fence. Like he doesn't know which way he's going.
Yeah, well, he was initially relieved when he realized Translucent was still alive.
Sure.
And so, yeah, and I love that he's, you know, we get to see through his eyes this conversation between these two killers, you know, and he's like, wait, you're talking about killing this guy. And so yeah. It's this poor innocent Petit Huey. He's going through some changes.
Petit Huey. So he's at this crossroads where he has to take care of a situation. But to kind of skip around a little bit, they go back and forth in this episode quite a bit of like covering Huey's situation and the gang, the boys, and also covering like Homelander's, you know, kind of meeting up to where he was from last episode. And he's having meetings with Stillwell where she knows that he had something to do with it. And it's kind of revealed in that moment that, oh, because, you know, I ended the first episode thinking like, okay, I didn't understand why Stillwell would have ordered Homelander to do that. It didn't, I guess, make sense after money was exchanged and, you know, agreements had been met, especially like even involving the Compound V and what to do with that whole situation. So I was curious to see how that was going to unfold. And I think that reveals.
Yeah, me too. I came away from that first episode thinking that, you know, she had something to do with it, but we find out that no, he acted on his own. And she's like, dude, I had this deal made and you screwed it up.
Right. So knowing what we know of Homelander, I guess, thus far is like, what is his main motivation in this situation?
I think he's to a certain degree protecting Stillwell. They have, I mean, I said before he's self-serving, but you know that extends to her. They've got this weird. They've got some kind of weird relationship,
right?
And
it's like mother son relationship.
Yeah, it's like a twisted mother son relationship. I think Homelander's got mommy issues.
Sure.
I mean, seriously, like psychological problems. And so I think in a way he was doing it to protect, because I think he even says it, you know, he's like, hey, he was going to wreck this whole thing. And so I did what had to be done. And
right.
But clearly he didn't think it through. And so she kind of dresses him down a little bit for it. And he kind of mopes and pouts like a little kid.
To the point to where he has to like lay in her lap.
Yeah, that's where it starts it's a little getting uncomfortable. Really weird.
And she's leaking.
Yeah. I was like, oh my goodness gracious. This is, yeah, that was one of those cringeworthy moments.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's
not comfortable here anymore. Exactly. It's an interesting dynamic that they have. It's like he's trying to get his foothold in being more than just like the muscle to this organization.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it too, is he wants to be more. Yeah. And he's just been this pawn and he knows it his whole life. You know, his whole career. We don't know much. We don't really know any backstory on him yet, sure. But he's clearly a pawn of this company and he wants to be more. He wants to take charge and, you know, he wants to step up and be a man, yeah. So to speak.
And it's interesting. I'm really curious to see more of like his motivation. I think some of the other soups, it's a little easier to see that, you know, what their motivation would be to stay in the Seven and take orders from mortal man. You know, it's like they need things. They need money. Some of them have, you know, addictions that they're trying to, you know, maintain with the Compound V. And so it's like there are things kind of being uncovered in that way, and it makes sense for certain suits, but for Homelander, there's something deeper there, and I think
And there has to be, because as powerful as he is, he could just tear the whole thing down and do whatever he wants. So I'm hoping that we, you know, just kind of come alongside him a little bit more, even though he's a bastard. But I want to know more about what makes him tick.
And he's the Superman of this world. Like,
absolutely,
we don't even know his weakness other than, you know, mommy issues, but
and he can't see through zinc.
Okay, yeah. So like, there's that one thing, but it doesn't hurt him.
Zinc, no,
it's not his kryptonite. It's
we don't know what his kryptonite is yet. Yeah,
he can still bash through zinc.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's that'll be interesting to see him unfold, and I think that. I love that in shows whenever the villain becomes one of the most like interesting characters to study and kind of uncover as it goes along, because you have to have a good villain.
Oh yeah, you do. You really do. So and I like that they've given even the Deep something to do. And it's in the comic book, he's just kind of there. Mm-hmm. He's just kind of window dressing. He's there for pratfalls. That's basically what he does for the whole book. He doesn't do anything. He has the Deep has no depth. But here it's like they're giving him stuff to do, which is kind of fun. So.
Yeah. And that's cool. It's kind of funny because it in a weird way, it has this, you know, parallel with obviously Aquaman and in that universe. And it's just kind of funny, like some of the on the nose things that they cover. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's funny. So going back to Huey and Frenchie and Butcher and all the boys. So I find that they leave Huey in situations far too often completely alone.
He's left to his own devices a little bit too much.
Like they're off like kind of deciding what they're going to use to kill him. They come back with like, this crazy Barrett 50 caliber, probably bigger. That gun was huge, that rifle.
Mm-hmm.
It just ricochets, no big deal.
They get the idea that, hey, we'll coat the bullet with the same carbon hard material that his skin is made of, and surely that'll penetrate. Nah, it just bounces all over. And did you notice, cut that little hole in the foil barrier that they put up to hide his RFID chip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because he went off the grid and nobody at Vought knows where he is.
Man. Yeah. So that was a whole situation with Homelander kind of looking for the Deep. And you start to, like, you know, see more and more of this corporation, Vought, like, really wanting to cover up anything that can look like foul play or that something didn't go according to plan with them, which is leading obviously Homelander to just kind of go rogue again and look for Translucent.
Yeah, so, he kind of launches his own little investigation there.
Right. And it's and it's solely for like saving face. There's no, you know, benefit for them in keeping him undercover. He was a great soup for them, but it is just solely for keeping him undercover. So I think that this show is going to be really wrapped up in Vought, obviously, but like really, it feels like on the nose with a lot of things, like even going on today, you know, you see just, you have obviously the conspiracy theorist and the people who are a little more mild on that scale, but you know, seeing corporations and what they're capable of doing, I think that stuff is so interesting because I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but you have to use your brain a little bit sometimes in society to be like, all right, what the hell's going on around here?
Oh, sure. You can't just take everything at face value. You've got it. Like you say, use your brain and analyze it and break it down and interpret, comprehend, if you will, what's going on around you.
Sure.
So what do you think about that whole situation with the Starlight Deep team up? Just to kind of shift gears a little bit.
Yeah. No.
How great. Awkward was that?
Super awkward. And this, like, the whole exchange at the table, like, it's like knowing what happened and, you know, being, like, professional enough, quote unquote, to move forward in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So many, like, Me Too, you know, call outs there in that whole segment of just like, yes, this is a real thing, you know, that people have to deal with, that women have to deal with. I thought it was cool because from what I know of the comics, which is a fair little amount, I read like the first issue.
Well, you got a good taste for that situation if you read that first issue.
Well, yeah. So from what I hear, that there wasn't as much like focus on Starlight in the comic, like early on.
No, she comes into focus later. So the series is blowing through the first big story arc pretty quickly. I mean, they've deviated from it, but they've kept, you know, they've cherry picked elements from it, and they've accelerated, you know, her character and her story arc a little bit. And I think it's, you know, in part because this first season, they only got 8 episodes. So right. They've got to kind of get everybody's train moving.
Yes. Everybody's A train.
And, moving. You know, that situation, everybody's A train. and
yeah. Sneak it in.
And it's, you know, it is definitely an issue. It's, you know, something we've seen a lot of over the last couple of years, and it hits home for people, and it's relevant.
Sure.
So it's, you know,
and it's also fine, like, that, a revealing that, you know, this isn't something that's been happening for a couple of years. It's been happening for years and years and years. We've only just, you know, started getting. It feels like, you know, to where these things are being revealed and people are more confident to come forward in these situations. Mm-hmm. And I like that they're revealing that, you know, it's relatable in ways. Not that, you know, anybody I know has been in obviously that drastic of a situation, but it is a thing. I mean, my wife is
sure.
In a professional
setting.
Sure. I mean,
bad crap happens, yeah. You know,
my wife works full time. I know, like, this men's mindset of, like, getting a job done and not being sure if the woman can handle it. You know, it's like, and sure. It's this weird underlying thing. And I honestly, I don't mind it being brought to the forefront. I think it's really cool even being presented in this way, because it didn't feel forceful. It didn't feel like overbearing. It was.
Sure. It wasn't preachy. It wasn't over the top. It wasn't in your, it was in your face, but it wasn't preachy and that kind of thing. It brought it up. Hey, this bad thing happened, and here's how this person's going to deal with it. And she stepped up in a big, bad way.
Right. And it makes her look like the hero. Like, she's coming out on top of this situation.
And it shows him, it shows the Deep for who he really is. You know, he's just a bully because he's a cowed, frightened little thing himself. And so he's trying to puff himself up, and that's just all bullies are.
Yeah.
And so I like that she stepped up to him. And, you know, in the way that she did, just like, dude, touch me again, I'll kill you. That was a very kind of a Shane Black moment there, but I'd still dig it.
Yeah, just burn the eyes out of somebody. Yeah, and she has that whole, like, kind of under wraps, like, not in her uniform, where she saves the girl from getting raped by two friends who were just like, oh, we're just out hanging out together, whatever. So I thought it was cool, like, seeing where her character's going is this, like, you know, obviously, you know from the beginning that she's not going to quickly conform to what the Seven is and what they stand for, and that she's going to be different. And you're hoping that all throughout the way. And we're kind of seeing that, like, unfold and come into fruition of her just being just different and not following into whatever, settling into a status quo of being a part of the Seven and just kind of doing what they do. So
sure, she doesn't want to be part of the machine. She wants to really be a hero.
Yes, she wants to be the hero. She wants to save the world. She said it herself. So Yeah. I think I'm loving where Starlight and Huey, I love this movement of both their characters interacting with each other and what that means for the boys and how it's going to unfold. It's going to have conflict. I talked about that last episode. There's going to be conflict and there's going to be pluses and minuses. And
You've got like a whole, you've got a whole Romeo and Juliet thing going on, the two opposing houses, you know, and the star-crossed lovers and all that. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that plays out.
Yeah. So there's a little bit we can touch on just as far as like, so we have an encounter with the doppelganger character.
Oh, yeah.
So that was interesting. So just essentially setting up some blackmail too.
Yeah, because Vought's trying to get the Defense Department to allow Supes into the military, and there's a lot of resistance for good reason.
Yeah.
And they won't let it get out of committee, and so, yeah, Stillwell comes up with a very clever way of blackmailing the head of the committee to put the thing to a vote on the floor.
It's a very, like, Mystique-esque from X-Men kind of vibe to that situation.
But with a sick and twisted turn there.
Oh, how terrible. To live in a world where you don't know if anybody you see is who they actually are. That is a terrible thought.
I wouldn't leave the house.
Yeah, I know. You don't trust anyone.
I'm done. I can have my groceries delivered to me. Yeah. I can work from home. I'm good. Y'all just do your thing.
Exactly. So, yeah. Cool. So, we're just kind of bouncing around a little bit. But, and that, I don't know. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about how this episode felt as far as.
We can't forget, before we get into our thoughts and feelings, we've got to get into, Huey's final interaction with Translucent.
Right. And I was going to get to that, but just kind of unfolding, you know, I guess in my head, I'm bouncing around a little bit. I think that's how I felt a little bit in this episode.
Well, it's kind of the way the episode was cut, because it did ping pong around a lot.
Right. And I felt like I was like, I'm on it with you, which I'm fine with, but there's a lot, and this is like pretty typical to first season of new shows, especially with a show that only has 8 episodes. They have so much to cover, much of the foundation that they have to set in order for them to move on, to have maybe some more, like, maybe some deeper episodes in the future. But it was a little bouncy from time to time. I was curious.
And I think maybe that's partially on purpose.
Right.
Not so much as a mistake on the part of the production team, but I think they were trying to do it on purpose to give us an uneasy feeling and to keep us on our toes and off balance.
Sure.
So that we can relate to Huey, because we at the end of the day, we're seeing this mostly through his eyes. I think he is, you know, by and large, you know, Huey is the character that is connected to the audience. And so that the way that they cut this together, I mean, kept us off balance and on our toes and, you know, a little confused. And I think it kind of helped to make us empathize with Huey a little more.
Right. I agree. So moving on to Huey and his final little encounter. So they find out, so Huey's, again, alone with Translucent, which is a situation that happens far too often. Translucent, what did he use his own piss, and he poured it on the batteries?
Yeah, he peed in the cup because he left the glass in there, because Huey gave him a glass of water.
He's a decent guy.
It's a decent guy. Well, he left the glass in there. Yeah, and Translucent, you know, peed in the cup and threw it on the batteries and shorted out the circuit that was keeping the cage electrified.
Yeah, so...
And he walked right out.
Yeah, he's out. And it's terrifying because he's an invisible person, but he's out. And he's talking to Huey because at this point he knows he has C4 shoved up his ass.
Yeah, so Frenchie figured it out. He said, hey, his skin's hard like the diamond. He's like, but on the inside, he's just like us.
Like a turtle.
Like a turtle, because he was watching that show and the guy was cooking the turtle. And he was like... Turtle. He's a turtle inside. And so they knocked him unconscious and you know, little
loaded him up.
Little tube of C4 up the bum.
A little cherry bomb. Mm-hmm. Cherry. So Huey's in this situation now, and I'm trying to remember, he kept looking at that poster on the wall over the sink about keeping his hands clean. I thought that was a cool little imagery of what was about to come, because he was in this like conflict of if he takes this next step, he's all in. It's not sure. Yeah, he, you know, right now theoretically he's thinking, I can go back, I haven't really done anything terrible, but if I do this next thing, I'm my hands are dirty.
Yeah, he has the opportunity to walk away, wash his hands metaphorically of the situation, and so that's the choice that he is left with in this closing moments of this episode. Yeah.
And they find out, so Translucent is kind of talking too much, and he reveals that A-Train wasn't saving the day. He wasn't, you know, stopping a bank robbery. He was going to see a person named Popclaw, which will come up later.
Yep.
Ideally in future episodes. So we know where A-Train's going.
Right. We have a clue as to what he was really doing.
And we know kind of what the boys are going to be looking for next. But I think that lack of a better term, that triggers Huey, and it sets his mind into this, like, I'm going to make this happen now. Mm-hmm. And so he does. He destroyed Translucent. Frenchie was right.
Detonator. Yep. Frenchie's theory was correct.
Like a turtle, he imploded from the inside.
And Huey's hands and face and, you know, the whole front of his body really isn't clean anymore.
Yeah.
That was woo.
That was good.
Yeah.
And it was a turning point. It felt like that as soon as he kind of crossed that line. It was like,
yep, he's all right, in now.
Huey is one of the boys. Yes. So what'd you think of this episode?
I dug it. I dug it. Like I said, it was, you know, it kept you on your toes. It kept you a little off balance the way it bounced around. But I felt like it worked, right, and I dug it. And I think we got, you know, a little deeper look, you know, into Huey. We got a little deeper look into Homelander and even Starlight. So I think, you know, I don't want to call it a filler, because it did advance the plot, but it was, sure, one of those things where we revealed some more things about the characters and we got a little bit deeper into their mindsets.
Right.
And so, and then we added, you know, we've introduced Frenchie, obviously. So we're progressing. I dug it. I had fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm loving the slow reveal of the boys and kind of bringing us into it. I think the first episode I was wanting more, and which I was fine, just because Butcher is a character on his own, and he needs his time. So
yeah,
getting Frenchie kind of the way we did, that introduction into being part of the team was really cool. And I'm really interested in him, and also seeing, you know, where Homelander's going. And he's a character that's super interesting to me, and I want to see how that unfolds. So
yeah,
I am curious, and I'm excited. I'm loving the show so far. I think it's really cool.
Me too.
Well, hey, thanks for listening. We hope that y'all enjoyed it. We'll be having some more episodes coming out very soon. We're going to be covering all of this season. And, well, since it was renewed for another season, we'll likely be covering the next season. So if you want to stick with us and kind of get updates on episodes that are being dropped, you can stop by our website, recap.fm. Make sure, this is important, you become part of our mailing list. If you just throw in your email, you're not going to get a bunch of spam, whatever. You're literally going to get updates on different shows that we have. We have, you know, a show on Chernobyl, Good Omens, Stranger Things, you know. So we're covering a lot of different ground, and we want people to be able to have those updates as they drop. It's also going to have things like when we start doing giveaways or maybe different platforms that we're doing different things on, you'll have all that information. So that's the best way to stay connected with what we're doing. So you have a Twitter?
I do have a Twitter. You can find me on the Twitter machine at Seal Adams. That's SEALEADAMS. So come on by and say hi.
Yeah. And mine is at JasonM_FM. But this has been it. I enjoyed it. This was a good time.
Thanks, right on.
Cool.
Thank you.
We'll see y'all next time.
Late.